Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Last week we experienced Har Sinai experience, Kabbalas HaTorah, the momentous occasion, the thunder, the lightning, the shofar blast, Anochi Hashem Elkecha, pierced through our hearts and souls. Very, very special moment. And the truth is, many of us, throughout our days, throughout our year, have Har Sinai moments. We have moments of inspiration, moments of clarity, the lightning bolt, the aha moments, those exciting moments. We get inspired, we get uplifted. But the truth is, everyday life is not Har Sinai. Everyday life is not Har Sinai. We have our moments where things slow down, moments where we're just not in the mood, where the energy's not there, the enthusiasm's not there, we're lacking that alacrity, that zrizus in our daily mitzvos. And the question is, what do we do? What do we do if we're not in the mood? What do we do if we're just not feeling it? It's not speaking to us, the energy is lacking, we're feeling a little lackadaisical, that Har Sinai seems so, so far away, so distant. What's the answer? This week's Parsha, Parshas Mishpatim, plenty of laws of the day-to-day, beautiful mitzvos, but how do we keep the Mishpatim with real energy? What if I don't want to do it? I'm not feeling it right now. It's not exciting. It's not speaking to me. Mishpatim is rule after rule after rule. What do I do? The answer, I believe, is found first number source, Sefer HaChinuch. Famous Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Ted Zayin, which is describing not breaking the bone of the Korban Pesach. And the Chinuch writes a very, very crucial principle. Da. Ki adam nifal kefi pu'ulasav. A person is influenced according to his actions. V'libo v'chol machshav tov tamid acher ma'asav. His thoughts, his heart and his thoughts are tamid, always acher ma'asav, are always drawn after his deeds. Shehu oseh bahem, that's he's doing. His thoughts, his heart, what is determined by the actions he does. Im tov imra, whether good or bad, always influenced by his actions. And what's the reality? Vafilu rasha gamar bilvavo, even if he's completely wicked person in his heart. V'chol yetzer machshavot libo rak rak kol yom, all the thoughts of his heart are bad all day. If a person who is extremely, extremely wicked, and all he's thinking about, contemplating, is doing wickedness all day. That's where his heart is. That's where his mindset is. What should he do? Im yare rucho. If he arouses his spirit, the yasim hishtaluso, and he puts all of his efforts, the isko basmada b'torah mitzvos, he decides. He's going to put his energy in Torah mitzvos. Afilu shelo l'shem shemayim. Even if originally it's not l'shem shemayim, what's going to happen? Miyad yinatzeh latov. He's going to be drawn towards the good. There's a person who was a Rasha, a Nudnik, a no-goodnik. He could only thought about his evil thoughts. But if he puts himself, his mind to it, his body into it, he starts learning Torah and mitzvot, even if originally it's not l'shem shemayim, it's not for the sake of heaven, miyad yinatzeh latov. He'll be drawn towards the good. Uvekoach ma'asav yamita yetzahara. And through the koach of his actions, he will destroy, he will eliminate the Yitzhara. And the famous principle, Ki achareya pa'ulos nimshachim alavavos. After the actions, the heart is drawn. Not the other way around. I'm not feeling it, I'm not into it, I have evil thoughts. Start to do good. Start to do Torah mitzvahs. Even if it's not l'shem shemayim. Even with ulterior motives. Even with an agenda. Because slowly but surely, you will transform. The heart will transform. The heart will become refined. The heart will become better. And we see this principle in source number 2, the Mishnah Navos. Ben Azay Omer, we should run to a light mitzvah, just like we would a stringent one. We should flee from sin. Why? Shemitzvah goreris mitzvah. One mitzvah causes another mitzvah. You do one, you pick up momentum. You have energy to do another one. You get excited for the next one. Initially it's tough. Initially there's resistance. But one causes another. You go on a winning streak. You get in the right, you start moving the chains, going in the right direction. A mitzvah goreris mitzvah. It causes the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. So when initially I started without that energy, without an excitement, boom, mitzvah goreris mitzvah. It keeps going and pumping and pumping and pumping away. And we find the same principle in the Mesillas Yesharim, the famous work of the Ramchal, that really teaches us a step-by-step path, a step-by-step guideline, how to act, how to behave, how to become a real Yosher. And this is the Perek Zayin, Perek Zrizis. And he discusses in this Perek the obligation to perform mitzvos with alacrity, and with energy, and with that excitement. But he says in source number 3, V'ulam, ha'adam asher ein ha'chemda hazot lohetes bo karoi. What if you have a person who doesn't have this desire burning inside of him? He's not able to have an excitement for mitzvos and his zrizus for mitzvos. There's no true inner fervor. What does he do? Eitza tova, what's the good advice? He loshis daris bertsono. He should consciously choose to act with zrizus. Kideshi masheikh mizesh tivalebo hechemda b'teva. So that a result of this external excitement, this inner fervor for mitzvos will develop in his nature. It will become part and parcel for who he is. It will become ingrained in who he is. He should push himself. He should use all his limbs and all his actions. And what's going to happen? It will become part of his nature, this excitement, this energy. Because the external movement, what does it do? It excites. It awakens the inner feelings. By pushing, I don't want to go to the minyan, I don't want to do the ches, by literally doing it and running towards it and jumping and hopping, it causes that inner energy to become ignited, to become inflamed. Ubevadai says in Mesillas Yesharim, Sheyotir Mitzur Biyado Hi Achitzona Me'apnimius. What's in our jurisdiction, what's in our reach, it's much easier to influence the externals than to influence the internals. Our heart could be stale, could be numb. So what do? We could always move our body. We could literally move our limbs. We could run towards it. And then Emir Tashem, we get the transformed, the lightning switch, the click goes on and transforms us. Think about a wedding. Sometimes you can go to a wedding, not in the mood to go, long drive, no energy. And what do? You start dancing and dancing. In the beginning, you weren't in the mood. You're tired. You're cranky. You're hungry. You miss the shmort. All you want to do is just, oh, what happened? Didn't even have the good sucking candies at the chuppah. Nothing doing. When you get to the dance, you just start going crazy. And by pushing and pushing the externals, it influences the internals to have that excitement, that energy, and the drive to really partake of the simcha. I wasn't in the mood to do the chesed project. I wasn't in the mood to get involved. So many details. So much hak. What did I do? Start making calls. Started putting up flyers. Started soliciting. Started putting energy. Started go, go, go. Started making committees. Time after time after time. Eventually that chesed project became part and parcel of who I was. Such an excitement and energy to see it to its fruition. And I think the same principle applies Ben Adam Chavero. Unfortunately, many times we have people that when we see them, we want to run the other way. Our blood boils. Just the thought of them might become irritating, might make us really want to turn around. So what do we do? What do we do when we have these ill feelings towards another yid? When we just feel, they make us, our blood pressure boil. What's the answer? Says the Rambam, source number 4 in Hilchos Deos, Mitzvos HaKol Adam Lavo La'ahov Et Kol Echad Chad Yisrael Kegagufo. There's a mitzvah on every single one of us to love every member of Klal Yisrael like ourselves. Shenamar V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha. We have to love every Yid. So the Rambam, I think, understands, but let's say we don't. Let's say we're having trouble. Let's say it's difficult. Let's say it's challenging. What do we do? L'fichach, therefore, Sarich lisaper b'shivcho, we have to praise the person, compliment the person. Ulachasos amamono, be very careful with his money, with his property. Kasher huchas amamon atzmo, like you'd be very careful about his own property. Verotze b'chavod atzmo, and the same way that he would want for his own honor. Says the Rambam, how do we fulfill the dictum of ahavta l'reicha kamocha? praise the person, compliment the person, give to the person, be respectful of his property, of his possessions, of his opinion. And by doing so, this increases a love. By doing so, it allows you to develop this love towards him. He irritates me. He bothers me. Start complimenting him. Start helping him. Start being there for him. That will transform it. Ahava, from the root word hav, is to give. Start giving to him. Start giving to him. And Amir Tashem, your attitude, your perspective towards him will dramatically and drastically change. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and in this week's parasha we learn about with different animals, we have to protect them. An animal lying under its burden and helping animals. And the Gemara presents a very interesting case. Source number 5. Oev lifrok v'sonei liton. Right now, you have an option. You encounter your friend and your enemy. And what's the option? The option A is to help your friend with unloading. The animal's lying under its burden. It's stuck. You need to take off the load. Or B, to assist your enemy with loading up his animal, helping him get ready to travel, to go on its way. So Oev lifrok, this is your best friend, the animal's under its burden, relieve the burden, remove it, or with your enemy, help load it up. The gut reaction would clearly be to help your friend, especially because he's in a more vulnerable position, and he's your best friend. Says the Gemara so beautifully, mitzvah bisone. The mitzvah is with who? Your enemy. Why? Kedei lakof et yitzro. To subdue your inclination. To subdue your inclination. I heard from Rav Yitzchak Kohn Shlita in YU. What's this Gemara saying? When you see your enemy, what do you want to do? We want to run away. We want to laugh. We want to mock him. The last thing we want to do is help him, especially when our best friend needs help at the same time. What's the Torah teaching you? Lakof et yitzro. Subdue your inclination. Work on yourself. The Torah is teaching us to have midos tovos, to purify ourselves, to literally transform ourselves. How do we do that? We help him. I want to run away. I want to help my best friend. No, lakof et yitzro. We can work on ourselves. He's my enemy. Dafka, help him. Support him. Assist him. Assist him first. Prioritize for him. And by doing so, Mirtz Hashem, the relationship can become repaired. You can mend that sour, bitter relationship, and he can no longer be Chas Hashem Yitzone, and he can transform to your Ohev. Gemara is teaching us that powerful lesson. I hate this guy. He's my enemy. What do? I help him. I help him first. I go out on a limb for him. I'm a Lekof et Yitzro. And that's how my attitude, Mirtz Hashem, will change, will develop much, much sweeter towards him. Stephen Covey, very, very popular author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. They have series on it. They have for teenagers. He was giving a seminar on relationships, talking about love and relationships. And somebody asked him, but how do you love when you don't love? The person, one of the people in the crowd, asked him, what do I do when I don't love? What's going to be? Stephen Covey replied, my friend, love is a verb. Love, the feeling, is a fruit of love. The verb. So love her, serve her, sacrifice, listen to her, empathize, appreciate, affirm her. Are you willing to do that? Love is a verb. I don't feel it. Work harder. Put more energy, more sacrifice, more sweat, more grind. In Mirtz Hashem, the love will become developed. Again, we see the principle, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. When we've challenged with certain people, when they rub us the wrong way, the best thing we could do is compliment them, is care for them, is go out on a limb, is prioritize for them, to develop the love for them. I want to conclude this topic with a very interesting story told by Rabbi Nathan Lopez Cardozo. He was once in a hotel lobby in a city. He was getting give a lecture, and two men approached him. They say, Rabbi, we see you're a rabbi. You look very important, prestigious. Maybe you could help us. We're not Jewish, but we went to different people of different faiths, different psychologists, and we're having trouble. We spoke to a clergyman of our own faith. We haven't received satisfactory answers. We're going to ask you. The men explained, we were very young, upright, religious young Americans, and we were sent off to fight in the Vietnam War. And when we got there, basic training went okay, went smoothly. We learned the trade. But then they told us we had to attack the certain Vietnamese village. We had to go in. We had to go in there. And the idea of harming, killing another person was extremely foreign to us. We refused. We couldn't learn to fly. We were going to kill another human being. We couldn't even fathom it. So we refused. But of course, this is war, and that wasn't an option. And as time went on, we learned how to kill, and we became better and better, and more proficient. Where originally it was very, very strange, very foreign, it became a sport. It came to the point where they said, quote, it reached a point that we could take a human life with total numbness, with no remorse, revulsion, or other negative feelings. It was an activity. People that originally couldn't even hurt a fly were picking off people literally as a sport. And they said after we came home to the U.S., this numbness remains. They said we knew we could go into a street, kill someone, and they wouldn't feel anything about it. The only reason we don't go out and kill people is because we don't want to end up in jail. And they said we want to change that lack of inner sensitivity. We don't like this feeling. We have a complete numbness. We've completely transformed. How could you help us? How could you help us? Again, Rabbi Lopez explaining what happens to people. How literally our actions, you could start off one way and transform to another extreme. And through our actions, determine us and define us. Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chavero, Ben Adam L'Atzmo. I'm not feeling it. I'm not energized. I'm not in the mood. I'm revulsed. It doesn't speak to me. We work harder. We put in more effort, more toil, more grinds. And acharei pulus nimshachim levavos. Eventually, over time, it evolves that our heart will change, will transform. I want to speak about a different topic. The topic at the beginning of this week's parsha. And that's the topic of the Eved Ivri. The famous Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave. He works for 6 years for his Jewish master. And after 6 years, he's granted freedom. And let's say he wants to stay. He loves his master. He loves his lifestyle. He's very, very happy. What does he do? They come, they take him to the doorposts, and they pierce his ear. And now he stays in servitude to the Jewish owner all the way until the Yovel year. They pierce his ear. Source number 6, Gemara Kedushin. Ma nishtana ozim mikol aver mishabeguf. Why is it that the ear is singled out and pierced as opposed to any other limb in the body? Why does the ear get pierced? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu says Hashem, Ozen Sheshema Koli Har Sinai. This ear that heard my voice in Har Sinai, Bishah Shamarti, Kili B'nei Yisrael Abadim. Hashem said at Har Sinai, B'nei Yisrael, they're supposed to be my slaves, my servants. V'lo Avadim L'Avadim. They're not supposed to be servants to my servants. V'alach Zeh V'kana Adon La'atzmo. And what happened? This person goes and acquires a master for himself? Yiratzeh. This ear has to be pierced. The ear didn't listen. The message on our Sinai was clear. We're supposed to exclusively be avadim to God, to the Ribono Shel Olam, and not to any human master. The ear that heard this didn't listen, and therefore it's pierced. Rabbi Sachar friend asks, I understand the Gemara, but again, why the ear? He asks even further, why the ear? Why not a symbolic pierce, let's say, of the brain, of the heart? The brain makes the decisions. The heart is the seat of all the emotions. This is just the ear. This is just the receptacle. Why does the ear take on the punishment? Let's have a symbolic piercing of the heart, of the brain, which determines everything. This is just the ear. Says Rabbi Fran, that's exactly the point. The problem is in the ear. He heard all the information, but it stayed at the ear. It didn't sink into the heart, into the brain. He didn't allow it to register. He didn't internalize the message. He saw no problem with the statement of what I need to be. Only a master should be who Hashem. He didn't listen to that. He said, oh, I'll take another master. He completely was oblivious. He ignored it. It didn't sink in. We pierced the ear because it just stayed at the ear. It never made it past the ear. It never registered, and therefore it never led to any change. We find a similar idea from a few weeks ago, Parshas Ve'era, when Moshe Rabbeinu is sent down to Mitzrayim to to bring the Geula. He keeps warning Paro, if you don't release Klal Yisrael, you're going to be punished, and it's going to be severe. And every time Moshe warns, if you don't let my people go, it's going to be bad. And sure enough, Paro refuses, and they get punished, and they get punished heavily. 6 times. Every single thing Moshe says is accurate to the T. He's batting 1,000%. He's completely on target. Now we get to Barad, Hail. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro to let my people go. Paro refuses. Moshe warns them, it's going to rain. It's going to hail. It's going to be bad. It's going to be dangerous. Bring everything in. Bring your livestock in. Bring your slaves in. Because it's going to pour. Anything left out in the field is going to be utterly decimated and wiped out. And sure enough, what happens? There's a group of Egyptians that don't listen. They leave the slaves. They leave the livestock outside. And what happens? Complete annihilation. Complete decimation. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva, asks in the Sichus Musar, are these people crazy? Why didn't they listen? Everything Moshe Rabbeinu said was completely accurate. He was batting 1,000%. He was always saying the truth. What are they, nuts? Whatever is going to be left outside is going to get rained on. Everything he said up to this point was true. Why wouldn't they listen? And Rav Chaim says, the answer is found in the pasuk, source 7, Vasher lo sam libo al dvar Hashem, those that didn't put it to heart the word of Hashem, vayezov et avadav et miknei basadeh, they left their slaves and their livestock in the field. Says Rav Chaim, asher lo sam libo, they didn't put it to their hearts. The Egyptians knew that everything Moshe said was accurate, but they knew it only on an intellectual level. They saw the devastation, but lo sam libo, they didn't put it to heart. They didn't internalize it. They didn't allow it to penetrate. They didn't allow it to register. And as a result, they left all their livestock and slaves in the field, which led to total annihilation. A person can know something on an intellectual level. He can know something's dangerous. He can know something's bad. But if it's not internalized, if it doesn't sink in, it will never leave to change. It will always stay on that intellectual level. No action will be taken. No moves will be made. The Egyptians, asher lo sam libo, they didn't put it to heart. And as a result, it led to utter destruction and annihilation. And in the same vein, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, what made Amalek so terrible, so despicable, the arch nemesis, the enemy of Klal Yisrael, a mitzvah to destroy them? Following the tremendous miracles of Yam Suf, Klal Yisrael was untouchable. The people were fearful. There was the plagues, there was the splitting of the sea, and we see in Parshas B'Shalach, source number 8, Shamu Amin Yirgazun, the people that heard were agitated. Chil Achaz Yoshe Pelesheh, terror gripped the people of Pelesheh. Tedvav, Az Nivalu Alafei Adom, the chiefs of Edom were confounded. Eli Moav Yechozeh Murad, trembling gripped the powers of Moav. Namogu Koyeshvei Canaan, all the dwellers of Canaan dissolved. There was tremendous fear and tremendous fright from Klal Yisrael, this nation that emerged from the Yam Suf, that brought down the most powerful empire in the world. People were terrified of them. They're literally unstoppable. But what happens? What does Amalek do? They attack us. They attack us. Says Rav Chaim, that's what makes them so despicable. They didn't internalize the greatness of Hashem, the power, the omnipotence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what makes them so horrible. Every nation was gripped with fear, wouldn't even look at Klal Yisrael, wanted to run the other way. This nation goes and attacks Klal Yisrael. They didn't internalize the greatness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, His utter might, power, omnipotence. They're the antithesis of a Jewish perspective. Yiddishkeit, the Torah tells us, we internalize things. We take things seriously. We take things to heart. We don't allow things to just stay on a superficial, external, intellectual level. They always have to penetrate. Amalek is our arch nemesis because they fail to do this, to live up to a basic tenet of Yiddishkeit. That's what makes Amalek. And I once heard Amalek from the word Malika. Malika is where we sever the head of the bird. What's Amalek? That disconnect between the head and the heart. Malikui, sever the head. There's that disconnect between the head and the heart. That which you know in the head doesn't penetrate to the heart. Doesn't lead to any action. Doesn't lead to any change. A yid always has to be thinking. But the thinking has to lead to growth. So Mirz Hashem, to recap, in Parshas, the Halig of Parshas Mishpatim, with all these Mishpatim, all these beautiful laws, the moments that sometimes feel a little burdensome. What do I do? Tonight's not the night. Tonight I don't feel it. Today's not the day. I don't want to get involved in the Chesed project. I don't want to go to Minyan. I don't want to start learning. After the actions, the heart is drawn. By pushing ourselves, schwitzing and grinding, our attitudes, our heart does change. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. One mitzvah leads to the next. And the Mesillas Yesharim says, the external movements, they influence the internals. They change our hearts. And the same is true, Ben Adam Chaveiro, as the Rambam told us. This person bugs me, he irritates me. How do I come to love him? By giving to him, by complimenting him, by being concerned with his property and his honor, the same way I am with about towards myself. That leads to v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. And I have an enemy, I have a friend. The Gemara Bava Metzia tells us, help the enemy. First help the enemy. L'kof et Yitzro. To become better. To work on ourselves. To develop a greater love towards him. And what we just learned, the problem in the ear. Why is the ear pierced, says Rav Franz? Because all that information at Har Sinai, it just stayed in the ear. It didn't make it to the heart. It didn't make it to the brain. That's why he saw no problem in acquiring a new master. The ear needs to be pierced. And we saw from the Egyptians, Asher lo sam li bol dvar Hashem. How could they leave their stuff out in the field? It's crazy. It's suicide mission. Because they didn't internalize. It was only on an intellectual level. And that's what made Amalek so dangerous and the arch nemesis of Klal Yisrael. Every other nation's gripped with fear wouldn't even look Klal Yisrael, run 100 feet away. But they dafka attacked us. They didn't take Klal Yisrael seriously. They didn't take the Ribono Shel Olam seriously. And that's the antithesis of a Yiddish attitude. So Mirz Hashem, when we hear beautiful things, inspirational ideas, thought-provoking ideas, profound ideas, they shouldn't just remain, oh, that's a nice theoretical idea. They should always, Mirz Hashem, go past the ear, into our heart and souls, and always lead to direct action. Yashkoach.